sukkah begins with the four halachos about the mitzvah of sukkah. The Mishnah starts with sukkah shigavo l'malam esr ma'amah psula. If the sukkah is too tall, if it's more than 20 amos tall, more than 30 feet tall, it's pasul. Rav Yehuda machshir. Rav Yehuda, though, is machshir if it's more than 20 amos tall. And the Mishnah goes on to say, Shein gvoa asara tfachim, if the sukkah is not tall enough, if it's not 10 tfachim tall, or Shein l'shalosh tfanos, if it doesn't have three walls, or chamas ru mitzilasa, if it has more sun than shade, it's also possible. The very first sugya in Masechta Sukkah discusses what's the source that a sukkah has to be less than 20 amos. So the first opinion is the opinion of Rabbah. It's based on the pasuk Laman Yedu Doroseichem Ki Basukos Hoshav Yis Bnei Yisrael. That part of sitting in the sukkah, according to the way the Torah explains this, part of sitting in the sukkah is to be aware of the reason why we're sitting in the sukkah. We have to sit in the sukkah and remember that we're sitting in the sukkah, just like Hashem put Am Yisrael in sukkahs in the desert, which, as the Gemara says later in the Masechta, is either a literal sukkahs or a Nani Akavod, but one way or the other, to remember Hashem's chesed for us and how Hashem took care of us in the desert. And that's really through the schach, because apparently, it sounds like from the Gemara, that the essence of the sukkah is the schach. That's why it's called sukkah, because the schach is the mesakech. That's what creates the shelter. That's what creates the shade. In fact, Rashi, back in the Mishnah, on the din that the sukkah that has too much sun is pasul, shachamasam rub mitzilasa, Rashi says, hamuat batel berov. The small amount of shade loses its identity in the majority. And it's as if that shade is gone. The reason why it's called a sukkah is because of the schach. The schach is what makes it a sukkah. So Rashi seems to say that the essence of the sukkah is the schach. That, when you say sukkah, really it means schach. And that's why if there's, and schach means a canopy, a shelter, a shade, that's why if there's too much sun, so that you're really not getting any canopy, you're not getting any shade, and therefore it's puzzled. Soloveitchik Tzatzal pointed out that the language of Rashi is a little bit off. Rashi says, Hamuat Batel Barov, the majority overwhelms the minority. Now, Batel Barov is a concept that we're all familiar with from Yoredeya, which refers to a tarovas. When you have a mixture, you don't know how to define the mixture. So then we say, well, if most of the mixture is kosher, so the miut is lost. The definition of the mixture is that it's a kosher mixture. But here, you don't really have a tarovas. You don't have a mixture. Because you can see, this is the sun, this is the shade. That's not a tarovas, that's not a mixture. There's no erbuvia, there's no mixture. So really, Rav Soloveitchik said what Rashi should have said is the phrase rubo kakulo. If the majority of something is a certain way, then it's as if the whole thing is that way. That's what we have in the laws of Machitzos, that if you have Parutz Merubala Omed, most of the side of the structure is open, so then you define that wall, that side as an open side. It's Parutz, it's open. You don't define it as something that has Omed, that has things standing there. So, again, the Gemara says that, according to the Rav, the Rashi really meant to say that we have to have schach here, because that's what makes it a sukkah. If it's mostly sun, sahamuat, the small amount can't create the haloshem, it can't create the definition of what we have here. The definition of what we have here is batel to the majority. The rove is the rove that we have here is sun. So what we have here is sun. We don't have shade, and we don't have a canopy. We don't have schach. We don't have something which is misakech. We don't have something which is creating shade. In fact, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to be asked, what's the makar, what's the source that an esrog hamurkav, an esrog which is grafted, is not kosher? So he said the answer is because it's not an esrog. It's not that, not the type. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that if it's grafted, it's not kosher. It doesn't have the shame esrog. So in that sense, what Rashi is saying is that if it doesn't have a majority of shade, it isn't a sukkah. You can't call it a sukkah unless it has a majority of shade. So the essence of the sukkah is the shade. It's the schach. That's what creates the chalosh shem sukkah. So hence, Rava says, if you have schach above 20 amos, you can't see it anymore. If you can't see it, so you're not in a sukkah. You're not sitting in a sukkah. You're not able to fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to look at the schach and be reminded of how Hashem surrounded us with His shade and He protected us. If the schach is so far high up, so you can't possibly feel that you are in the schach, you're under the schach, and you lose sight of the schach, you lose sight of the sukkah itself. That was Rabbah's answer. The Gemara then challenges Rabbah, because the Gemara says, Gemara will challenge it later, but at least that's the answer of Rabbah. Reb Zeira said, the reason why a sukkah l'mala me'asrim amos pasul is also because of the schach. The Torah says about the Navi Yeshayahu who predicts that when we get to Mashiach's time and we eat the meat of the Leviathan whale, so they're going to make out of the skin of the Leviathan a canopy, a sukkah. And the pasuk says there, v'sukkah, this sukkah tiyah l'tzel yoma mechorev, it'll be a source of shade by day from the heat. So therefore also, if it's 20 amos, within 20 amos, a person sitting in the shade of the schach. But if it's above 20 amos, you're not sitting in the shade of the schach, you're sitting under the shade of the walls, and if there are no walls, you're not going to have any shade at all. The sun will come underneath such a tall, tall roof, and it won't produce any shade. Gemara on that base and the base, the Gemara challenges Reb Zeira. The Gemara says, Reb Zeira nami, ahuli mos hamashiach udechsiv. That pasuk is not talking about sukkah. Not talking about the sukkah that we have after Yom Kippur. It's talking about the days of Mashiach, the sukkahs orosh shaluv yasan. So, how could he learn a halacha from in regards to the sukkah? So, the Gemara answers, Reb Zeira says that there are two lessons. If the point would only be about the meal of Mashiach, in king le makra v'chuppah tiyah l'tzel yomam. The pasuk should have said, the chuppah will be a source of shade by day. Why is it called a sukkah? In fact, it's called a sukkah to teach you both halachos, both the halacha of sukkah, as well as what's going to be ba'asid lava. So this is something very striking, that somehow the din of sukkah is also a lesson about la'asid lava. Why, in fact, did the Navi choose to describe the canopy of the future as a sukkah? It's going to be a chuppah, so he should have called it a chuppah. Why does he call it a sukkah? To teach us this halacha. The truth is, when you go through Masechta Sukkah, you see a lot of striking laws connecting Sukkah to other things that we wouldn't have thought of. We just mentioned, in regards to Lamala Me'esrim, Gemara learns the law of Lamala Me'esrim from what the Navi describes the Mashiach party all about. But there are other striking similar issues. When the Gemara has the whole discussion, how do you know that a sukkah that's less than 10 tfachim is pasul? How do you know that you need to have a minimum of 10 tfachim? So the Gemara says that you learn it from the wings of the kruvim. The pasuk says about the wings of the kruvim, sochachim bekanfeim lamala, that they were creating a schach with their wings above. So the Gemara says that must have been a total of 10 tefachim. And the Gemara has a whole analysis, how we get to it, different opinions, but that's what the Gemara spends basically an entire daf trying to prove that. And then when it says that it doesn't work according to everyone, it doesn't work according to Yehuda, the Gemara says, okay, finally, maybe it's halacha l'moshe nisina. So it's also very striking that the halacha of the minimum height is derived from what's going on in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Why would that be the place to teach us the sizes of the minimum height? The sukkah l'chora has nothing to do with the Kodesh HaKodashim. So why is the sukkah, number one, somehow connected to sukkahs orosh haluv yasan, to the future, to the Mashiach party? And secondly, why is the sukkah connected the Kodesh HaKodashim, that we derive the law of the height of the sukkah the minimum height from the laws of the Kodesh HaKodashim, and from the Gemara says another possibility is La'olam lo yarda Shechina lamata, the Shechina never came down all the way down to earth. So that must mean that the sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim tall for the Shechina to be there, because it couldn't be even lower. What's this connection between the Shechina, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and the sukkah? And Gemara in Daf Tes, the Gemara makes an even more striking claim about the sukkah. The Gemara is discussing the pasuk Chagas Sukkos Tasalacha. You shall make for yourself a holiday of sukkah Shivas Yamim. So what do we learn from that? So the Gemara says, maybe we learn from this idea of Chagas Sukkos Tasalacha Shivas Yamim the lesson of Rav Sheshas. How do we know that the wood of the sukkah is prohibited for all 7 days of sukkahs? That there is a prohibition. You can't use the wood of the sukkah for other purposes. Tamalumar, that's what the pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yamim LaHashem. The Chag of Sukkah, 7 days for Hashem. The Tanya Limpton of Rice, Rebutin of Besera Omer, Keshem Shechal Shem Shamayim Alachagiga. The same way the name of Hashem is on the carbon chagiga, the name of Hashem is on the sukkah. Hence, chagasuko shiva semim lashem, machag lashem, just like chagiga, carbon is for Hashem. Af sukkah lashem, so to the sukkah is for Hashem. So all of these are very striking examples of what seems to be emerging. There seems to be a certain connection between the sukkah and the Beis HaMikdash, and in a certain way, the sukkah has a very, very deep attachment to levels of kedusha that other mitzvahs don't have. We know that there's tremendous severity to Shem Hashem. Not a lot. The person says Shem Hashem, you're supposed to stand up. It's like Gemara and Idris and Daf Yomi, they used to stand even when they heard the representation of Shem Hashem of the Megadeth, because to honor the Shem Hashem, everyone has to stand up. Shem Hashem can never be erased. Obviously, when there's a situation of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, of Kiddush Hashem, or Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, Chil Hashem, those are mitzvos or averos that are treated much more severely than typical mitzvos and averos. Coming up to Yom Kippur, the four chilukei kapara, the four levels of actions that need atonements. You know, lack of a mitzvah saseh, get atonement through tshuva. Violating a lotase requires tshuva plus Yom Kippur. If it's avon sheyesh bo misa, you need tshuva, Yom Kippur, and yisurin. And if it is chas v'shalom chil Hashem, so then a person needs tshuva, Yom Kippur, yisurin, and even misa, chil Hashem, has a higher level of what's required to get kapara for chil Hashem than for all other mitzvos. The mitzvos that are connected to Shem Shamayim have a certain added importance. And here the Gemara seems to be connecting the sukkah to Shem Shamayim, both in the sense that the sukkah is like L'asa Lavo, in the sense that the sukkah, the halachos of sukkah, are derived from the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash. And then explicitly, this halacha, normally you just call this halacha Muktzah Machmas Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, you're using it for the mitzvah. It would be Bizui Mitzvah, it would be an insult to the mitzvah to use it for a secular purpose. And here the Gemara goes further. The Gemara calls that Keshem Shechal Shem Shemayim ala Sukkah, Keshem Shechal Shem Shemayim ala Chagiga, the same way Shem Shemayim takes effect on the Chagiga, Kach Shechal Shem Shemayim ala Sukkah. So too the Shem Shemayim is literally manifest on the Sukkah. So I think that maybe what's underlying all of these ideas is the idea that the Svarim HaKdoshim, Sefer Chasidus, and others explain. In a certain way, Sukkot is a hemshech of the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. I once heard a recording of a shir of Rav Soloveitchik, where Rav Soloveitchik said, all the good darshanim know that Sukkot is a hemshech of Yom Kippur, and he said it in his way. He said that Yom Kippur is the day really of Torah Shebaal Peh. This he quoted his great-grandfather and namesake, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, who said that originally in the Luchos Rishonos, all of the halachos were written in those luchos. That would answer a technical question. The Gemara says in the Masechta Shabbos that mem the samach shebeluchos b'neis hayomdim, that the mem and the samach and the luchos we're standing in a miracle. The problem is if you go through the Aseres HaDibros, there is no letter Samach in the Aseres HaDibros. How could it be Mem the Samach Shebeluchos B'nei Sayomdin? So the Beis HaLevi answers that the original Luchos had within them all the halachos of Torah Shebaal Peh. It was the Aseres HaDibros, plus all the applications, all of Torah Shebaal Peh was all written in the original Luchos. We lost those original Luchos with the Chet of the Egel Azav. And we were zochet to get the second set of luchos on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we got the second set of luchos, luchos shnios. That's why Yom Kippur is the day of mechila uslicha, of atonement and forgiveness for all of our averos, because Hashem forgave the sin of Egel Azav on Yom Kippur. So that's the case with Yom Kippur. It's a day of tremendous forgiveness. But while it's a day of forgiveness, we got back a set of luchos that were different than the first set of luchos. The first set of luchos, there wouldn't have been any shikchas haTorah, there wouldn't have been any forgetting of Torah, the Midrashim say, because everything was written, could have all looked it up. The second set of luchos, we didn't have it all written. It was a lot of it was left oral, a lot was left in Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why Rav Soloveitchik said that we find there was all this friction between Chazal and Tzedukim about Yom Kippur, that Chazal said you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim mix the ash, the Ketores, together with the coals, whereas the Tzedukim said you should mix the Ketores and the coals outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and walk in that way. Why was there friction with the Tzedukim? Like the Mishnah in Yuma says, you'd have to make the Kohen Gadol swear that he would follow the normal Seder HaAvodah, because Yom Kippur is a day of the mitzvah of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's when we got, in a certain sense, Torah Shebaal Peh as we know it. We got an oral Torah. So that's why B'nei Shemayim, the Tzedukim, used to fight about Torah Shebaal Peh. They were against it. So they would fight against Yom Kippur. That's why we find also that if you read the Torah, it sounds like there are only three avodos on Yom Kippur. If you look at Parshas Achremos, it sounds like the Kohen Gadol begins with his big day Zav. Then he does Avoda and Big Day Lavan. Then again, he goes back to Big Day Zav. We know that it's not the case. He actually goes to the mikvah five times in Yom Kippur. He switches. He has five different sets. So why is it different than the way the Torah is written? Again, because this is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because it's the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's why deliberately here, the way it's represented in the Psukim is a little bit different from the way Chazal have taught us based on Torah Shebaal Peh. The Avodah Sayom is supposed to be. So Rav Soloveitchik said that the same is true as Sukkos. Sukkos is a Yom Tov with a lot of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara says Nisach HaMayim, there's no pasuk for it. It's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of Arava on Hoshana Rabbah, there's no pasuk for it. It's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. You have a lot on Sukkos that's based on Torah Shebaal Peh because Sukkos is a Hemshech of the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. That's what he said there. But I think we can take that idea that Sukkos is a hemshech of the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur in another sense as well. Pasuk says about Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, before God you become pure. That the nature of Yom Kippur is to purify our sins and to once again stand in the presence of Hashem. So Sukkos is a hemshech of that. In Sukkos we have the schus to be back at a level of tremendous purity. So in a small sense we're getting back to the level of Gan Eden. The idea of the sukkah is that we're back in Gan Eden, we're back with Adam HaRishon before all of his sins. It's a tikkun of all of the various avonos. And since sukkah is a tikkun, and it brings us back to the level of before the sin, that's why the sukkah, in a certain sense, is like a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was a tikkun and a representation of the fixing of the sin of Adam HaRishon. So the sukkah also really is a fixing of the sin of Adam HaRishon, and it brings us back to the level of Gan Eden. The level of Gan Eden, you had a tremendous amount of Gilui Shechina, a tremendous amount of revelation of Hashem. That's why perhaps the Gemara says, Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga, Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah, that there is a Hashra of Chalos of Shem Shamayim on the Sukkah. The nature of the Sukkah is derived from the Halacha of the Kodesh HaKadashim, of the Kruvim. We learn the dinim of Sukkah from the Sukkahs Oro Shel Levyasa. The Sukkah itself is a mini Beis HaMikdash. The Sukkah itself is a mini Gan Eden. The Sukkah is a tremendous and holy place because the Sukkah has this enormous Kedusha, has a special holiness to it. So I think that that's part of what the Mekubalim say, that the sukkah, the word sukkah in Gematria, is the two Shemos Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, 26 plus 65. It's a total Gematria of 91. So the idea of why sukkah is these two Shemos Hashem is because these two Shemos, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that they represent the challenges, number one, of Shemayim, Yud Kei Vav Kei is Shemayim, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Hashem is the Adon here on the Aretz, the challenge of Hashem being the master here on earth. In other words, the challenge of the Ruchnius together with the Gashmius. And since the Sukkah is to bring us back into Gan Eden, we are continuing the Lifnei Hashem Titaru of Yom Kippur, so therefore the Sukkah is a Hashra, the Sukkah is a place where it's manifest, Yud Kei Vav Kei together with Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, where there is a tremendous achdus between the tremendous spirituality, the ruchnius, and the avodah that we're supposed to do in gashmius, and they're all transformed and united together as one. And in that sense, that could be why we find an amazing thing about the sukkah, that in sukkah, secular activities become a mitzvah. The only other mitzvah that's similar to this is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so getting a job and building a house, these are all mitzvahs of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Even the secular activities become mitzvah. And the sukkah, the same, eating, sleeping, latayel basukkah, to walk back and forth in the sukkah, to shmooze in the sukkah, as long as it's not averos. All of those are mitzvahs when they are performed in the sukkah, which is a tremendous thing, that the sukkah is a place of enormous Kedusha. It can transform even normal gashmius into mitzvahs. Just sleeping becomes a mitzvah. Why? Because the sukkah represents taking us back to Gan Eden, taking us back to the level of Adam Arishon before the Chet. Like we found at Matan Torah, where there's Gemara saying Shabbos, that Pascha Zu Amasan, the Yetzer Sahara, that it entered because of the sin of Chava, left us at Har Sinai, and Yamarti Elokim Atem, Ubnei Yom Kulchem. But unfortunately, Achein Ka'adam to Musun, the Pasuk says, unfortunately, like Adam Arishon, you had to end up dying when you did the sin of the Egel Azav. But Yom Kippur wiped away the sin of Egel Azav. And once it wipes away the sin of Egel Azav, in a small way, in a Me'ein, we're back on the level of Adam Arishon Kodem Achet, the way we were at Har Sinai. And therefore, in that level, in Gan Eden, La'avdo L'shamra, the avoda of working the garden, of protecting the garden, physical activities are also mitzvos. That's what the Zohar says. La'avdo putin, to work the garden is with mitzvos asei. L'shamra is with mitzvos lo sasei. That through the sukkah, which takes us back into a level of Gan Eden, into a level where we're in the presence of Hashem with Hashras Hashchina. So then once again, even physical things can be transformed into mitzvahs, that even a regular physical activity done in the sukkah is already a mitzvah. That's where you find also a connection between sukkah and nevuah, right? That Yiska, Sarah, her name is Yiska, she socha b'ruach HaKodesh, she speaks with Ruach HaKodesh, and in the sukkah we find the power of nevuah in the sukkah, like we find that Yonah ben Amittai became a Navi according to the Yerushalmi in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, celebrating Sukkot, that's when Yonah became a Navi. Again, the Sukkah is a mitzvah, which is a special mitzvah. It's not just a wonderful mitzvah. All mitzvahs are wonderful, but it's a mitzvah that has in it a chalos of Shem Shamayim, a very special and dear and close connection to the presence of Hashem, to the presence of Hashem's name. It's a continuation of the Lifnei Hashem Titaru, and because it has this very special holiness, that's why it has these amazing capabilities. Number one, to transform even physical acts into mitzvahs. Number two, to give us a sense of nevuah, to give us a sense of Yemos HaMashiach, of the days of Mashiach. Now, all of these ideas are clearly expressed in our benching. In benching, we say, Arachmanu Yakim Lanu, as Sukkas David Anofalas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should lift up for us the Sukkah of David which is falling. What's the Sukkah of David which is falling? It's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the Sukkas David. It's no falas, it's falling. So we're saying in the Schus of our observing the mitzvah of Sukkot, sitting in the Sukkah, living in the Sukkah, that should be a Schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should lift up Sukkas David Anofalas, the sukkah of David, which is falling, the Beis HaMikdash should help us and have merit to have the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The sukkah has a very special connection to the halos of Shem Shamayim, to the name of Hashem. Now, the Rambam takes this halacha of chal Shem Shamayim ala sukkah, and the Rambam says that it only applies to the schach. The person on sukkahs has to treat the schach with respect. He can't use the schach for other things. I don't know if somebody wants to do pull-ups on the schach. He wouldn't be allowed to do that on sukkahs, because k'shem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, the same way Hashem's name is on the carbon chagiga, kachal shem shamayim ala sukkah, so too Hashem's name is on the sukkah. The Rush, he said that this din of halos of Shem Shamayim, the Isser of Tashmish, Atzei Sukkah, the prohibition of using the wood of the Sukkah, the Rush says, applies to the Schach, and it applies to the Machitzos, it applies to the wall as well. So Rav Soloveitchik, in the Shiurim that he gave here in the Yeshiva, proposed that perhaps the Rush and the Rambam are arguing what is the Sukkah. According to the Rambam, he holds that the sukkah is the schach, like we saw in Rashi. Rashi says that if you have mostly sun, so the whole thing is defined as sun. You don't have schach, you don't have shade, and therefore it's not a kosher sukkah. Whereas according to the Rush, the sukkah is not just schach, sukkah is schach with mechitzos. So that's why the Rush says that there's this din of chalos of Shem Shamayim, not just on the schach, but even on the mechitzos as well. Now, what other nafkamina could there be in this question? Where is there a chalos of Shem Shamayim? So the Rav suggested that maybe another nafkamina would be in regards to the din of mitzvah haba v'aveira. In the third parak, we have a famous gemara. The Mishnah says that a lulav which is stolen is pasul, both on the first day of Sukkot and the second day of Sukkot, throughout the Yom Tov, it's pasul. So the Rav, okay, the first day, I understand. The pasuk says, l'kach v'lachem b'yom harishon, creates hadar. You should take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful tree, kapus tamarim, the lulav, anach yitzavos, lachem yishalachem. It has to be yours. If it's stolen, it's not yours. But on the second day, what's wrong? It's not by Yom Rishon anymore. You should be able to use a stolen lulav. So the Gemara answers, no. The reason why you can't use a stolen lulav is because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. It's a mitzvah that comes through a sin. The problem with this is that the Talmud Yerushalmi quotes that the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos teaches that if a person Nebuch loses a relative on Shabbos and he tears Kriya, after Shabbos he wouldn't have to tear a new Kriya. He already fulfilled the mitzvah of tearing Kriya. So far, so 1 second. It's a mitzvah ba ba veir. It's violating Shabbos, the malach of Korea, and to do a mitzvah, the mitzvah should be rejected. It's a mitzvah that comes through sin. So the Gemara answers, the mitzvah is not, there's a difference. Hasam gufa veira. Hacha hasam ka'avira veira, hacha gufa veira. So Yishal makes this strange distinction. It says there he did an aveira, here the item, its essence, is aveira. So what's this difference between the essence being an aveira versus doing an aveira? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that what Yishal means to say is that the idea of mitzvah haba ba'aveira is that if the essential mitzvah item is deficient as also an aveira item, then that rejects the mitzvah. But if the way to do the mitzvah entail going through an aveira, that doesn't necessarily become mitzvah haba ba'aveira. So when a person tears kriya, so the mitzvah is to express pain, ein ani nesel b'lev, and to tear kriya. The aveira is also to tear something on Shabbos. So the two things came together. He did an aveira of tearing something on Shabbos. He did a mitzvah of expressing his pain. But the object of mitzvah is not an object of aveira. It's not a chefza shel aveira. When a person has a stolen lulav, though, there are kinyane gzela in the lulav. There is something in the lulav. And that defiles the lulav itself. The Gemara says that one of the sources that you can't use a stolen item for a mitzvah is a pasuk in Malachi. The pasuk is giving musr, the Navi is giving musr to the Jewish people. He says, what are you doing to Hashem? You're stealing and you're bringing these stolen things as gifts to Hashem. if you bring to Hashem a blemished animal, do you think Hashem would be happy? Why don't you bring these things to your governor? Is Hayir Tzecha or Yusuf Hanecha? Is he going to like you? Is he going to be favorable to you because you bring him something blemished, because you bring him something stolen? In other words, just like when you have something blemished, there's something wrong in the object. When something is stolen, because there are kinyan exhale on the stolen object, the object itself has a certain impurity in it. There's a certain defilement to it. And an object which is essentially defiled can't turn around and become a chefza shel mitzvah, an object of mitzvah. You see this in the famous Rambam in regards to a stolen shofar. The Rambam says that if somebody steals a shofar and you hear the tkiyah shofar from a stolen shofar on Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam says you're yotze the mitzvah of shofar. What do you mean? You're yotze the mitzvah of shofar. It's a mitzvah ba'ba avera. So the Rambam says, no, the mitzvah is not the blowing of shofar. The mitzvah is hearing the sound. So you have to hear the sound. The sound itself can't be stolen. Ein bakol mishum gezel. You can't steal sound. Sound is intangible. Since you can't steal the sound, so you fulfill the mitzvah even with a stolen shofar. So what does the Rambam say? You can't steal the sound. But the mitzvah came about through doing an aveira. What the Rambam is saying is that you always have to define what is the chefza shel mitzvah, what's the object of the mitzvah, and then say, is that chefza shel mitzvah also a chefza shel aveira? In shofar, if the mitzvah would be tkiyah to blow, so the chefza shel mitzvah would be the shofar, and then the mitzvah would be to blow the shofar. But that's not it. The mitzvah is not to blow the shofar, the mitzvah is to hear the shofar. The shofar itself, the horn, is stolen, there's a shem gazel on it, there's kinyan exhale in it, there's the defilement in the horn. But in terms of the kol, in terms of the sound is vague. There's nothing tangible in the sound. So since there's nothing tangible in the sound, therefore there's no chalos shame guzzle in the sound. You can't have mitzvah ba'ba'beira in something which isn't tangible, because mitzvah ba'ba'beira is that the object of mitzvah, the chefza shel mitzvah, is a chefza shel aveira. So according to the Rambam, with chalos shem shamayim on the sukkah, in terms of the isser of using the sukkah, only applies to the schach. That means, according to the Rambam, you could only have a din of mitzvah ba'aveira in stealing the schach. However, according to the Rush, who says b'chor, the chalos of shem shamayim is not just on the schach, but it's the schach as well as the machitzos. According to the Rush, you could have a din of mitzvah ba'aveira not just in the schach, but even in the machitzos. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said in his shiurim here. However, his grandfather, Rav Chaim, in his sefer on the Rambam, says that he thinks that the Rush also agrees that chalos of shem shamayim is only on, sorry, that the essence of the sukkah is only the schach. Everybody agrees that the sukkah at its essence is just schach. Why does the Rush hold that even the walls have an isser of using them? The Rush holds that the din of Kishem Shechal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah, I'm sorry, Kishem Shechal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga, Kachal Ala Sukkah, that there's Kedusha to the Sukkah, applies to the main essence, to the Schach, plus everything which is Machshir the Schach, whatever was needed to make the Schach Kasher, that also has a Chalos of Shem Shamayim on it. But the essence is still the schach itself. So I think that this idea of Reb Chaim, in light of the first idea we were suggesting, could be a source of tremendous chizuk. Reb Chaim is saying that the essence of the sukkah, the Shem Hashem, the Ashras Hashchina, that is the schach. But even though that's mostly the schach, anything that helps the schach also gets some of that quality, and also has a din that you can't use it. Kashem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kachal shem shamayim ala sukkah. So maybe that should be an inspiration, that we should have an area of our life which is a place of chalos of shem shamayim. And if we have a certain basic beis hamikdash of our lives, that can be extended from there, from the schach to the machitzos, to everything which is machshirit, to hopefully enable us, at least in some small measure, to come back to this level of Gan Eden, of serving Hashem, where even the Gashmir should also be mitzvos, which is the ideal of what the Sukkah represents.